First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday.
Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego Chicken Sandwich, Fuego Fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego Chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty Classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego Chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get it started here tonight. Chelsea 1-0 winners over Manchester United today. N'Golo Kanté and Chelsea advancing in the FA Cup to the semifinals. They did have the FA Cup semifinal draw immediately after this game. Chelsea will play Tottenham Hotspur. Arsenal will take on Manchester City. These matches will take place April 22nd and 23rd. Welcome in to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, behind the glass, Tyler Scott. 713-780-3776 throughout the show is the number to call in. 713-780-3776, a number to call in throughout the show. So tonight we got a number of different things on the program. We'll have the analyst for the Portland Timbers, former professional soccer player Ross Smith, will join us on the program here tonight to talk a little bit of the Dynamo matchup against the Portland Timbers and some of the newer players that they have acquired. It's a battle of undefeateds. Portland has beaten Minnesota. Portland beat L.A. at L.A. 1-0, albeit an L.A. team missing probably four or five starters. But it is a road win for Portland, which they did not have last year. So we'll talk all things Dynamo. If you were down at the stadium for the Dynamo Columbus crew, let's talk about it. What are you feeling now after two games? Are you convinced a little bit more about what's going on with the 4-3-3? All three strikers in this three-headed attack scoring for the Houston Dynamo. Started with Romel Kyoto, Albert Elise off a corner, and then what has to be a goal of the week candidate, along with Godoy of San Jose, is absolute long diagonal ball from Alex, cushioned down by Kubo Torres, moving forward, and then it's almost a carbon copy of the Kyoto goal the week before, bent in. So we've had some wow factor goals being scored here in Houston. Now, we started off last year like that as well under Owen Coyle. This seems more built for the distance, and it's a system of 4-3-3 under Wilmer Cabrera now that certainly is one that by the game, by the week, they're hoping to understand and learn even more. And they're going to have to do it at times without the Hondurans, because guess what? Boniac Garcia, Albert Elise, we're going to call him Albert Elise, the Little Panther, and Romel Kyoto have all been called up for Honduras. And they're going to take on the United States on March 24th, important World Cup qualifying. And rest assured, Albert Elise, Romel Kyoto, they're going to be motivated. So let's get your thoughts, Dynamo fans. 713-780-3776. A little shift in time here tonight for the final Texas A&M coaches show. But we'll take calls throughout the show again. 713-780-3776. A couple of observations today in the Chelsea match. Number one, Chelsea was the better team. United was in the game until the sending off of Andres Herrera. He needs to take responsibility for that. But Chelsea's just so strong up front. Quickest team in the league. I don't think there's any question. When they break out, they break out. They also don't have the distraction of European football. That said, Marcus Rashford in one-on-one. As United had to play, obviously, without Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who incidentally has been linked to the LA Galaxy. No shake of hands between Antonio Conte and Jose Mourinho. And those Chelsea fans that once just adored Jose, well, they called Jose Mourinho Judas. And they targeted him with chants of off Mourinho. And you're not special anymore. And this was from Chelsea fans behind the dugouts in the East Stand. Him and Conte came together kind of at the halfway line. We're shouting at each other and people got in between them. Then Jose Mourinho holds up three fingers in reference to three Premier League titles over the two spells he had at Chelsea. So give me your thoughts on Mourinho. Give me your thoughts on the 1-0 Chelsea win over Manchester United. That's it. And then Jose said, when they have somebody who wins four Premier League titles for them, I'll be number two. For this moment, Judas is number one. Well, I think Judas is number two. There's a guy named Sir Alex Ferguson. Mourinho was sacked, as you remember, in December 2015. It was an absolute nightmare season. What a signing, though, N'Golo Kanté has been for Chelsea. I think it's just such a significant signing. And he played Paul Pogba off the park in this. I mean, no doubt about it. And I feel bad for Pogba. I just think the price tag and the expectations, how's he ever going to meet him? Foreign players in Major League Soccer, we can talk about that tonight. Clubs that are becoming haves and have-nots. Again, we mentioned Kyoto, Boniac, Elise called up to the national team. I think DeMarcus Beasley is going to get called in, and I think he should be the left back. He's been through this before. And then you push Fabian Johnson into midfield, who plays for Borussia Mönchengladbach, who's going to be in Europa League play on Thursday against Schalke. We can also ask you what week two in MLS meant to you. What stood out to you? That's another thing we can talk about. Liga MX, referees went on strike this weekend. There were no games. That's going to lead to some changes. We can talk about that tonight. On Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. You know what we'll do? Let's do this, Tyler. Let's lean in. Let's get a little Dynamo conversation going with Portland, and let's see if we can roll. Let me let you get this ready. Let's roll a Ross Smith interview. Do we have time to do that in the first segment? Okay, we'll hold that for the second segment then. So when we come back, we'll do a little Ross Smith and start to prep the Dynamo Portland Timbers. If we look back at the Dynamo game this weekend, I think there's a lot you can look at. The opening goal is the first thing. 2 minutes in, we talked about clash of playing styles between the Dynamo and Columbus. Columbus tries to play out of their back by their young goalkeeper, Zach Steffen. Now, he hits a ball that is not weighted properly. But I want you to recognize this from the thinking of Romel Kyoto. His quickness, his ability to pounce on that is not something that everybody at that end of the field, past strikers of the Dynamo, have. So you must credit him for that play as well. How quickly he can close people down there. And it's tough for defenders because you're going to get closed down by these guys a lot faster than you are normal strikers. So that was goal number one. Columbus, I thought, took the game to the Dynamo. And we're unlucky not to score. I mean, you could make an argument for Tyler Derrick being the man of the match based on the timeliness of the couple of saves he made at a very critical period in the first half. Without a doubt, because Columbus was getting better, the better of the Houston Dynamo. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. And I think Tyler Derrick was exceptional in this game. So then they get a corner. Kubo Torres hits a near post. He drags three guys with him. And it leaves a wide open Albert Elise, the Panther. And he just makes good contact. He doesn't have to blast it. and it's 2-0, and it changes the course and direction of the game. And in the second half, we see the Dynamo, what I think is better prepared defensively when it comes to a team shape, and now they turn into an out-and-out counterattacking team, and they get chances on the counterattack, and it's not reflected in the analytics. So we'll talk a little bit tonight about the analytics. But I don't want to keep Cindy Bourbano waiting. She's the third member of our team now on the Cube 57, where the Dynamo broadcasts are. So she's our sideline reporter, is doing a great job. She's obviously bilingual, so it gives us the opportunity for her to speak to the Spanish-speaking players, because you know, Cindy, you would not want me speaking Spanglish to these poor guys. You there, Cindy?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good. So from down on the field now, you've got a great vantage point, one that's very unique to where we are up high. Speak to me about how quick this Dynamo team is, because in the last couple of years, it really has been, overall team speed, one of the slower teams in the league. And all of a sudden,
right,
you've got people
really
that can fly.
Amazing. Glenn, I mean, just the energy, what you live down there, I mean, it's completely different, the energy, the dynamic, the movement, Ellis and Kyoto, and just... it's really unbelievable. And I mentioned to you off camera, actually on Saturday, how I felt like this is, it's almost like a Latin soccer match that I'm used to watching overseas. Like, that's the feel I get. It's very, it's aggressive, it's fast, it's exciting. And you can feel all that, you know, from the sideline.
Yeah, and some of your interactions with fans and people leaving the stadium, we've gotten some back too as well. Tell me what those are, because I just see people really excited, and I think you touch on a great, what I will call a touch point, which is, you know, Latino fans and Hispanic fans, and I'm not saying other fans don't want this, but they want to see excitement, they want to see entertainment, they want to see technique on the ball, and they want to see attacking soccer.
Absolutely. And I think right now, you know, having the Hondureños there with the team now, and of course, Cubo scoring the last two games, and just kind of bringing back that momentum, that exciting sense of soccer and what we live, you know, overseas, back to the stadium, to the BBVA Compass. I mean, you're going to start seeing more of the Latinos coming to the matches and supporting the Houston Dynamo like they should, and getting excited about being involved, because you really see everybody leaving. Everybody's just the energy at the stadium, especially down there with the chanting and El Batallón, and everybody's just so happy. And even when it's raining, they're still there just to see, you know, their favorite players and support their country in a way. Is really, really interesting.
Don't you think it's incredibly prideful moments for let's just take the Hondurans now, who all three of them on the Dynamo, three of the Hondurans were called up to take on the U.S. on March 24th in World Cup qualifying. So Elise, Kyoto, and Boniac are going. There's 300,000 Hondurans in Houston. I mean, what a prideful moment, number one, that these guys are representing against the United States. But they play week in and week out here in Houston. 300,000 Hondurans. Let's put this together.
Yeah, and absolutely. And actually, on my morning radio talk show, I've had people call in, you know, Catrachos, and they're excited about, you know, the attention that they're getting, and how they're right now, you know, Kyoto and Ellis and everybody, just the Latins in general getting the recognition that they deserve, of course, for getting those 6 points and all that stuff, but just being involved, I guess, with the Houston Dynamo more than they have ever before. So I am definitely seeing a little bit more of that pride, or the Latinos being proud of their heritage and coming to support, you know, the Houston Dynamo.
This year we've seen the Dynamo, though, extending the olive branch a little bit more. You know, we have a Hispanic coach in Wilmer Cabrera from Colombia. We see some changes in the stadium. We've seen some changes on their websites and things like that. Obviously, you're a wonderful addition to our broadcast team. But you do have to extend the olive branch to the Latino community. I worry sometimes that we think just because we're going to put players on the field, everybody's going to organically come back. That can help, but I still think you have to get into these communities and find out who are the real leaders, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think working hand-in-hand with different organizations and trying to attract the Hispanic audience and the Hondureños, the Salvadorians, the Guatemalans, the Mexicans, and there's everybody here. It's a melting pot. Venezuelans, there's Colombians, there's Brazilians. I mean, there's so many. And right now, the Houston Dynamo is so diverse that we should go into these communities and we should try to show them that things have changed. It's not the same Houston Dynamo that some people might be used to. This is really an exciting new group of guys. They all come with different types of styles, and I was at the training facility today just watching them, and it's so magical. It's so interesting to see them work together and come together as a team. And Wilmer, of course, he's, you know, very excited about the new, you know, this match Saturday, and they're going to be traveling a little, you know, a few days earlier just to adjust and try to see. But they're going, you know, with everything they have there. Of course, they have these wins, but they're not just going to be sure about, you know, thinking, oh, we got this, because they know that Portland's a tough opponent.
Yeah, and they got a coach who's not going to allow that to happen. But I think these signings, and I think you know this, Cindy, these signings, these are guys that really have an ambition to make a mark here. The Albert Elises, the Romel Kyotos, they know Major League Soccer is an opportunity and a platform for them. Kubo Torres knows his career's at stake here this year. By the way, what was it like being down on the field when he scored that third goal, spectacular goal from the ball from Alex?
Oh, my goodness. That was unreal. I mean, and then with the robot and the whole thing going on, it was just so funny. I mean, it's been a couple of years. I actually talked to Kubo afterwards, and he was saying that it's been a couple of years since he's done that. And yeah, I mean, he was somewhat concerned, of course, for his career because, you know, he hadn't scored. He has to make a difference. He has to show what he's got. He's in better shape than ever. He has a coach that believes in him. Of course, they've, you know, been together before in Chivas USA, but that believes in him, that knows how he works, and that is pushing him to his limits and making him believe in himself again. So you could see that with that third goal. I mean, this is the talent, and this is the reason why they signed Kubo to the Houston Dynamo. This is the player that they've been wanting for the last 2 years.
You're hitting the nail on the head. Cindy, thank you very much for coming on tonight. Remind everybody where they can catch you in the mornings, because now I know you're going to be talking a little bit of Dynamo, right?
Oh, absolutely. Giving away tickets and all that. You can listen to me on Mega 101 from 5 to 10 a.m., Mega en tus Mañanas, and, you know, 5 hours of just a lot of fun and giveaways and just a hot mess.
Well, you have been doing excellent for us. We thank you for that. And until we have our next game down at BBVA Compass Stadium, thank you very much, Cindy, for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me, Glenn.
All right. That's Cindy Bourbano. You catch her on the Cube 57, Mega 101. It's great for us because she loves soccer. She grew up in the soccer culture. Speaks Spanish. Gets us interviews that, you know, would have been a little bit more difficult. She's right there behind the bench. She's hearing and seeing things that we can't hear or see from a booth. So it's been fun. Good start. I think we're all having a good time with the broadcast because of the quality of the team. And we have things we can talk about now, which is good. And look, don't for a second think the Dynamo have it all figured out yet. This is a rebuild. They had a great run when the teams came and the anticipation built in 2006 and 7, the cups, it all exploded. And then interest began to wane eventually, a couple years down the road, when the product, you know, went a little bit sour and fans got sour. Fans walked away. Now it's a rebuilding of the product on the field. That's the first and foremost thing you have to do. That's happening. Cabrera, Jordan, they're leading the way. But this is business. This is a business problem. And we got to bring people back. And we got to re-engage new people that are unique soccer fans. So the first step is repackaging the product, making it more entertaining and interesting, connecting with those Hispanic and Latino fans, and keeping things moving forward here. Quick word. Azure Salon at West Ave, that's where I get my hair done there. They keep me looking clean and ready for broadcast. Azure Salon keeps me sharp. Azure Salon at West Ave has been in the business 16 years. It's located in the heart of the River Oaks Shopping Center. And ladies, they got you covered as well with color and cuts. Azure Salon at West Ave. It's www.azurewestave.com. www.azurewest.com. Take a break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's talk a little bit of food here. Liberty Kitchen, great for lunch, supper, and brunch. I think of it as modern American comfort food. Their classics taken up several notches. Great burgers, mac and cheese, mom's spaghetti chowder. It's farm-stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen stamps its claims on. They'll own it. It's big flavor served at a neighborhood social. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. They got a number of different locations. Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, Treehouse, Memorial City, Great Creole Gumbo with Blue Crab, Oysters on the Half Shell, love the Raw Bar, chops, steaks, ribs, fish, signature cocktails, cold beer. That rounds it out. Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop for me. Stop by to all their locations throughout Houston. And also the Daspit Law Firm. Moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878, 713-322-HURT. It doesn't matter what type of accident you're in. Could be a car, boat, plant, refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler, motorcycle, industrial. Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. They're going to fight for your right for compensation. It's the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. And welcome back to the show. A lot to talk about. Houston Dynamo fans, you're 2-0. You should be feeling pretty good. You should have something to say about it. 713-780-3776. Next week, we go back to our normal Wednesday time slot at 7. So looking forward to getting back into our consistent time slot on Wednesdays. Couple of things here. Atlanta United, 6-1 over Minnesota United. The two games on Sunday, they weren't as watchable for me, and I'll tell you why. I was impressed with 35,000 people in the snow. It was a hard watch with the snow and the field getting all white. I will say Atlanta United stuck to playing the game they want to under Tata Martino. And, you know, Martino's trying to play the similar style that he has with Barcelona, and as a manager of Argentina, coaching Lionel Messi, with these players in Major League Soccer in relative terms. Minnesota, oof, real problems. Back-to-back games conceding 5 goals. And, you know, you're watching that and you're going, you're pulling for Minnesota, right? 35,000 in the snow, former players coming back, big moment. And kudos to them for bringing the former players back from some of the Minnesota teams past. Smart. But you're pulling for them, and, you know, Atlanta United scores in the very, very beginning, and they've got a very interesting team. 713-780-3776. And then the Portland-LA game was bizarre. Portland didn't win a game on the road last year. They beat LA 1-0. Counterattack goal from Diego Chara. But it was just a very choppy, strange kind of game. And it was a tough watch outside of that wonderful counterattacking goal. But we did watch it because we're trying to figure out what Portland's going to bring in Portland. And the Dynamo will take on the Portland Timbers on Saturday night. 9 o'clock pregame show on Cube 57. 9:30 the kickoff. My understanding is Kings Court. Right there on 903 Hutchins and Edo on the corner of Walker and Hutchins is doing a watch party. 24 taps, full beer over there, Indian cuisine, British cuisine, rooftop patio, El Bateon is going to be there. Again, that's Kings Court. They're doing a watch party Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun there. Corner of Walker and Hutchins. And that's where you go, Kings Court. Couple of things on the Timbers. You know, where is Liam Ridgewell? He's been injured. I would like to see this Dynamo pressing attack put pressure in Portland for good moments in this game against their back four. They also started a high school left back, and he played very well. Name is Marco Farfan. Played left back in L.A. and played wonderful. Jake Leeson in goal made a huge save late in the game off a flicked-on header. I'm trying to remember who flicked that on. Who headed that? I think it was Villarreal. So their back four was Marco Farfan, Roy Miller, Lawrence Olam, and Alvis Powell. Powell, the Jamaican. Diego Char and David Guzman. Guzman is a signing from Saprissa, same club as Adolfo Machado. Midfield, it was Darlington Nagbe, Diego Valeri, and Sebastian Blanco. Blanco comes in as a DP. He's not what you're thinking. He's not Pablo Aimar. He's not, you know, he's not that kind of a, he's not a number 10 type. He's a guy who does a lot of different things. He works, obviously. Played for Lanús and San Lorenzo. He's got a lot of familiarity with Diego Valeri. And then Fernando Adi up front. And Leonardo certainly understands who Fernando Adi is. Adolfo Machado may not, but he's definitely not a guy you want to get close to you and let him get his arm, a hand around your hip and spin and turn you, because he's big and strong and he can turn. It's one to keep an eye on. Portland in the 4-2-3-1 under Caleb Porter. Last year did not make the playoffs. They used Ben Zemanski, Darren Maddox, and Dairon Asprilla off the bench in that game. It was a weird game, but you know what do they care? They've won two games. It's their first road win of the year. I think the big injury question for them is does Leon Ridgewell make it back into the lineup, and does Vitas, the left back, make it back into the lineup, or do you play this young kid again who's still in high school, Marco Farfan, who played so well against LA? That's what we're talking about, getting young kids in lineups that are groomed and are ready and are mature beyond their years. And some MLS teams are doing that. You got to produce from within your own. It's an area where the Dynamo hoping to improve. And that's where they can utilize RGV for players like Christian Lucatero. It's going to be tough for him to get playing time this year. And you sort of want to blood these guys as soon as you can, but the Dynamo product on the field looking good after two games. Very, very exciting. The entertainment's back down at BBVA Compass Stadium. All right, let's go now to Ross Smith. He's the color analyst for the Portland Timbers. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Timbers. No playoffs last year. Team that has won an MLS Cup. Where are they now heading into this season? And the changes, has it been enough for the Timbers this year to really put them over the top, you think?
I think people are very hopeful that it has been enough thus far, and the changes needed to come. I think Taylor Porter and Merritt Paulson, he was on our weekly TV show that we do, Glenn, the Timbers in 30, and Merritt Paulson was very open, very candid about things needing to change, that depth had to be addressed, that last year after a few injuries, the Timbers, they felt, didn't have a lot to go to. So in the off-season, holding center midfielder from Saprissa, it feels as though Saprissa has been ransacked in the offseason. David Guzman has come in, and he looks a terrific signing. Sebastian Blanco, DP signing. He's come up from Argentina. Former teammates, friends with Diego Valeri from their time in Argentina, Lanús as well. So he looks to be a strong fit. And Lawrence Olam, who the Timbers have had to call upon early on, they had an injury, the Timbers, to a center back they expected to be a starter, go down in preseason. And Lawrence Olam, he fit in really nicely. And that is the one area that I think the Timbers are still wondering whether they need to address that is for the depth at the center-back position. But all three of those guys, Glenn, have been really good, really sound signings. And I would have to say for all three of them, David Guzman, for me, I'd be the most excited about just what he's had to offer and what he allows Diego Chara to do. Diego Chara has shifted into more of a box-to-box, that number eight type of player. But David Guzman, he's got a little gravel in his guts. He's got a bit of snarl to him. And I was saying just the other day, I tell you what, if I'm his teammate, I'm not stealing his shower gel in the changing rooms because I'd be afraid of him a little bit. And so I think the Timbers, they needed that little bit of aggression, a little bit of nails and steel in that midfield to complement Diego Chara.
Is that the holding midfielder, the indigenous kind of guy that does put a little fear into opponents, an Osvaldo Alonso type? And in Houston, yeah, they signed a guy, Juan David Cabezas, from Colombia. It's kind of a dying sort of personality these days in the game a little bit, but I get the sense that's what he's been brought there for, and maybe as a shield to the back four.
Yeah, he is, and I like how you've said that, because I worry that it is a dying breed as well. Those type of guys who step out on the pitch and their first thought is, I can't wait to hit somebody, I can't wait to tackle somebody. And I know from one center back I'm talking to another, Glenn, you know, maybe that's the old school attitude, but I don't think so. I think the game still needs that now and again. And when you're having to grind things out, I think you can see not only in the physical play, but the mentality of guys like that, that these guys want to win. And that's what Caleb Porter's brought in. Lawrence Olam coming across saying he was a former Timber. He played back before their MLS days, so he knows what it's all about here. But Sebastian Blanco, even defensively, what he's been doing has been so good. And I think that lifts the guys when they know your players you're bringing in, right away they're buying in and they're willing to stick a foot in. And getting back to David Guzman, I think that lifts all the guys around when it's almost as though him and Char are going back and forth. Char saying, right, watch this challenge. And then David Guzman saying, well, how about this one? And they go back and forth. And it's a really nice partnership already formed there. The one hope is that David Guzman's all right. He went down and was very controversial. The second booking for Van Damme in the LA Galaxy game, yep. David Guzman went down with a shoulder injury. We're just waiting to see what that means coming into this week. So hopefully he's okay.
Ross Smith, analyst for the Portland Timbers for a number of years now, former professional soccer player, joining us. All right, so how do you see the two styles meshing up here? Because obviously, this is a very different Houston Dynamo that the Portland Timbers will face as opposed to the team last year.
Yeah, I have to say, Glenn, coming into both weekends, I put a little star beside the games that I can't wait to watch, that I'll sit and make sure I watch those ones first. And Houston Dynamo, 2 weeks in a row, I couldn't wait to sit down and see what these new signings were all about. And they haven't let me down one bit. And, you know, following your broadcast, you and Eddie, you know, it sounds very much the same, that there's belief, that there's hope back at Houston. And I've liked this 4-3-3. I love the front three with Kyoto, Torres, and Elise. Those three look so exciting, the expansive football they're playing. And you talk about David Guzman, Glenn, just saying, is it a dying breed? I was wondering if the dying breed of an out-and-out winger, of players getting that sock on the boots, the way they used to call it, just staying wide and running at guys, whether that was a dying breed, because in the sort of modern game, you're always talking about wingers coming inside, looking to combine. I've admired the way that Kyoto and Elise just stay wide, and the way the Houston Dynamo have looked to really pounce on the counterattack and to get the ball out to them in wide areas. The one area I wonder, and I know this is you and Eddie doing the analysis, but for Houston Dynamo, but that three in the middle, for the Houston Dynamo and the way Columbus Crew in the first half could get through them. I just wonder if Caleb Porter's looking at that, thinking with the number of bodies that we can get in that midfield, the way that Nagby likes to come inside, Blanco likes to pop up in the middle with Valeri, then Addy. Just wonder if they're thinking we could create overloads in there, the way that we can get on the ball, that intricate passing. And so it's a long way around of saying the expansive football that Houston Dynamo are enjoying playing, and the way the Timbers like to combine and find ways through, I think it's going to make for an interesting style matchup-wise, just the way that these two teams, they like to attack. They're an exciting team going forward, but who wins out and who can impose that style? And I wonder with you, Glenn, just with Houston Dynamo, I'm interested, their first game coming away from home, does Wilmer Cabrera change the formation? Is he looking at that three in the middle? The way they adjusted Columbus Crew's second half, I thought was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that they had a 2-0 lead also allowed them to maybe do that a little bit more. They obviously, their team shape was a lot better. I think You picked out what I think, you know, probably Caleb Porter and everybody's going to look at is that period where the Crew really were taking it to the Houston Dynamo and Tyler Derrick had to come up with a couple of big saves, but were really, you know, cutting them apart a little bit with the short passing game. And then they sort of collected themselves a little bit and then I think found their team shape. But I think it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
I think it's a team that, you know, large portions of games, they're going to want to press people high, obviously. And then I think there are portions of games where, you know, they are going to have to tuck back in a little bit against good possession teams like Portland. And they're going to be a threat on the counterattack, though, which is something they've never had.
Yeah.
They haven't had any of that for years. I mean,
I think you say that with them pressing and them obviously getting that quick goal against Columbus. I look at the Timbers and the way they can press even more now, getting back to Caleb Porter's style that he wanted to have in his team, the characteristics to play a high line, to play high energy. And David Guzman, it seems like I'm full of praise for him. So far, you know, we're a game and a half in with him, but what he's allowed is, well, he likes to press high, but so does Diego Chara. And now Chara doesn't have to worry so much about leaving his areas, leaving them exposed in front of the back four. He can go and seek out challenges. And you look at his goal that he scored against LA Galaxy, I think that's a great example where the team have won it off a corner. And where he starts his position to where he gets his final touch, where he scores the goal, I mean, it's amazing pace. It's amazing counterattacking football. But also, Diego Chara is able to do more of these bursting runs without thinking, uh-oh, I hope I'm not leaving these guys out to dry out behind me.
Yeah. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league, obviously. And I think a lot of people kind of go to him and talk about the aggression and that he commits a few fouls. I mean, This guy is box to box. He gives you everything. And by the way, I loved him doing the interview in English after the game. I thought that is golden television. Even though he doesn't have a full command of the language, I thought it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
And it's great for other guys coming in who don't speak the native tongue. Diego Valeri, too, has been a great ambassador for guys where they come in and they see what Valeri's doing in Chara and how they are with the media. And, you know, they're so good with their time. They're so gracious. And you know, somebody should be as well. Is my thought. You're in a great position to be able to influence others, but they certainly don't shy away from it. And for them to learn the English language and for Diego Chara, he's been pushing this so much, working hard to do interviews like that so people can know what he's about is of high praise to him.
Yeah, it's a big statement, I think. You know, if I were to move to another country and the primary language was Spanish, I darn better learn it so that I can, you know, be respectful and be able to communicate with people. And I think that endears you to people. And, boy, I thought he was great for doing that. Ross, thank you very much. Looking forward to this one. This is going to be a good one this weekend, Portland and the Dynamo. And I know you're looking forward to it as well as I am.
Yeah, tough to predict. So we look forward to catching up along the way. Thanks for having me on, Glenn.
All right. That's the one and only Ross Smith, Portland Timbers color analyst, former professional soccer player. He's on all their broadcasts up there in PDX. Couple takeaways from that interview is, number one, David Guzman, who's been signed from Saprissa, is going to give a little bit more of a license for Diego Chara to get forward. And obviously, he ran the length of the field to score on the counterattack. That made it 1-0. Sebastian Blanco may not be the number 10 you all think he is. You heard that from Ross Smith. He's more of a rounded midfielder from Lanús and San Lorenzo. And then I think big injury concerns for them are Liam Ridgewell and Vitas. Do they get back in the lineup or do they continue with Marco Farfan, high school kid who is absolutely mature beyond his years in the 1-0 win over the LA Galaxy? Gorgeous Gale, you want an Irish pub with an Irish feel? By the way, that's the place to be St. Patrick's Day. Get over to the Gorgeous Gale at 5555 Morningside. They've got all the matches on all the time. It's the home of the Liverpool supporters group. You get a pint and a bite there. Whiskey offerings. You say hello to Peter when you go there. Open field, lots of monitors, an outdoor patio. The Gorgeous Gale, the place to be St. Patrick's Day. And St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner. I'm going to try and make it over there and drink some of that green beer. GorgeousGale.com, official pub of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're starting to get our roundtable guys in studio. Miguel Sada's here already. Ken Fogarty's here. When we come back, it'll be Dylan Remick, the Dynamo left back, got the full match in the Dynamo win over Columbus in the absence of DeMarcus Beasley. His interview is coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're momentarily going to be joined by Dylan Remick, the Dynamo left back. Dynamo 3-1 winners over Columbus this weekend. They will take on the Portland Timbers. You have an opportunity to watch the game. Cube 57. Everybody gets it. Over the air station. Pregame show, 9 o'clock. Eddie Robinson and I on the call of that one. On home games, we've got the third member of our team who's added a lot, Cindy Bourbano, who you heard in the first segment. So that's just a reminder. There is a El Batallón, and my friend Miguel Sada's brother I saw after, Herman. El Batallón will be down at the King's Court. They're going to do a watch party down there. That's going to be a blast, and we're doing it out of a studio, the TV call. From inside the stadium, so we'll probably walk over after there and hopefully be celebrating something good. All right, let's get to the phone line right now. Let's get Dylan Remick on the show. Dylan, thank you very much for coming on the air tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's, you know, I saw when you came to Houston and you got signed, and you're standing there with all the, you know, the Honduran connection and all the new signings. Now here we are, two games into it. How's your Houston experience been both so far, both on and off the field?
It's been great. It's been awesome. I mean, two wins and two home games, that's a pretty great start. Been able to get to see Houston a little bit now that we're back from preseason. So everything's been good so far. I can't complain at all.
All right, for you to get the 90 minutes and the win over Columbus, DeMarcus Beasley had some personal reasons he couldn't play. A lot of people talking about how steady and how solid you were in this game. Tell me a little bit about the importance of you getting an early game as a starter here and being a part of a team that wins an important game against Columbus.
Yeah, I think the win against Columbus is definitely the biggest aspect of the night. You know, that was a big win against a good team. In terms of me getting 90 minutes, it's good for my confidence to get that 90 minutes and to get a win. Now I'm just trying to go out there whenever I get my chance and do my part to help this team win. And to be able to do that on Saturday, you know, it just helps make me feel a little bit more comfortable whenever I need to come into the game, or, you know, if it builds the coach's confidence in me, seeing me in a game, that helps too. So any chance you get to play, it's a great opportunity. And, you know, fortunately we got the 3 points.
Dylan Remick last year was a member of the Seattle Sounders, the MLS Cup winners. He appeared in 11 games, started 6. And I know you want to bolster those numbers here in Houston. You got your first 90 minutes under your belt. Take me to the time period in the first half where Columbus was getting a lot of the game and looked a real threat to tie things up. Tyler Derrick came up with a couple of big saves, one off a corner, one off closing down the angle on Higuain. Just kind of what was going on at that period, because look, you guys are in a system of 4-3-3 that's not an easy one to learn, and it's not one that anybody should be expecting you to know inside and out right now. So just take us in that time period where it was a little tumultuous.
Yeah, I mean, so we knew getting the early goal, which was huge. We knew that they were going to have most of the possession in the game. They're a very possessive team, and that's one of their strengths. So we knew there were going to be periods of the game where we were going to have to absorb that pressure. And later in the first half, as you said, they got some chances. But, you know, luckily for us, we bent, but we didn't break. And that's a testament to the effort that everybody put in. I mean, teams are going to get chances in games. That's just going to happen. Luckily for us, we were able to absorb that pressure. Obviously, Tyler Derrick came up with some huge saves to help keep us in it. And then after that, we sort of realized we made some tactical adjustments on the field about 30 minutes into the game, just to help bolster that back line and help prevent them from getting through, trying to make everything as difficult as possible. And I think it really showed in the second half. I thought we were very solid defensively, plugged up all those gaps in the midfield area, forced them out wide, and, you know, luckily we were able to clear most of the crosses until the very last one, which, you know, we're going to work on getting that shutout. But for the most part, it was pretty good as a team defensively.
Those tactical adjustments, was that just getting your three midfielders a little closer to each other and cutting off passing lanes, or what might that be?
It was just communication across the lines between the back four to the midfield three to the front three. Obviously, as you said, there's a lot of new guys on this team, and so we're still trying to learn each other. We're trying to learn each other's tendencies, try and play off each other's strengths. So, you know, as we get further and further along in the season, those tendencies are going to show through, and we're all going to know each other fairly well. But right now, we're still trying to get to learn each other. So it's just a constant communication between all the players in the back line and then the backs to the midfielders, just constantly being on the same page. And if we're not on the same page, then talking it through to try and get on the same page. And I thought we did that very well after Columbus had a good amount of possession and a good amount of pressure, got some good chances. We were able to settle down a bit, talk it through, be able to get on the same page again. And then obviously the second goal right before halftime was a huge help.
Dylan Remick joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. A solid 90 minutes in the Dynamo 3-1 win over Columbus. Again, they next are in action against Portland in Portland. So first road game. Before I get to that, because I know you have a lot of experience with that great rivalry between the Sounders and Portland. This 4-3-3 system and with the Hondurans as aggressive as they are, and I got to tell you, Dylan, You've just come here and have been a part of a new team, but I think people are so excited to see a wide game and people taking people on and doing it repeatedly and having the confidence to take people on. You know, at one point, I think in the last couple of years, we thought the ball was a ticking time bomb and nobody wanted it. So it's been exciting. You do realize, right, that you are going to have to defend at times with lesser numbers, and your team shape will be altered because of the aggressiveness of these guys, right? Is that something you guys accept?
Yeah. I mean, our goal is to absorb that pressure with our midfielders and defenders and allow our wingers and forwards to expend most of their energy on the attack. And as everybody has seen through those first two games, we have some extremely dynamic and productive forwards. So our goal, you know, we're going to give up some wide play to the opposing team. We've realized that. And again, that's a constant area of improvement for us in practice, is to try and figure out how to best deal with, you know, certain teams' tendencies when they bring it out wide, because we'd like to keep our wingers and forwards up top. So we understand that is going to be an area where other teams can exploit at times. However, I think we've done a very good job of communicating and moving our midfielders and defenders over as a unit to be able to be best prepared to handle those wide attacks. And then when we get the ball, obviously an early spring, early pass up forward to any of our, you know, front players, we're confident that they are going to be able to produce goals in games and produce quality chances, and so far they've done exactly that, and we're really happy with that.
Dylan, you're going up against Romel Kyoto and Albert Elise in training day in and day out. Just give us a sense of how quick these guys are and how this could be a real asset to you in training, obviously having to play against them.
I think that's the biggest thing, is an asset that it is to our team. Both these guys are, you know, extremely creative, dynamic, and as well Mauro and Kubo and Wenger and DeSante, all of them are extremely talented in their own way, and to be able to go against them every day in practice, it's just going to make our defenders better, you know, on a daily basis. And from there, we're going to feel more comfortable and confident in the game, because these guys are extremely dynamic, extremely talented, have great quality amongst the collective group. So it's a huge benefit for us to be able to go against them every week and train against them. It's just going to make, you know, all the defenders, everybody on our team individually and collectively, better as a unit.
Dynamo left back Dylan Remick joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Thank you very much again, Dylan, for coming on the show. How about a little thought on the Portland Timbers? Obviously, that's a team that can break out as well. it kind of on paper looks like this is going to be a very entertaining game in Portland.
Yeah, there might be a decent amount of chances, that's for sure. they've definitely looked pretty good past over their first two games. They've been able to score a decent amount of goals at home against Minnesota and then an impressive win on the road against L.A. So, you know, we're ready for it. Obviously, it's going to be a different challenge because it's the first road game of the season against a good team at a pretty hostile environment toward the opponent. But we're excited for the challenge.
Artificial surface, do you think that'll do much to affect you guys in Portland?
I don't think it will be that big of a factor. Obviously, it's a little bit different than grass, so it'll be slightly different, but I don't think that'll be, you know, the reason one team wins or another. It'll be the quality of whoever plays better.
Dylan, listen, great start for you. Congratulations on the wonderful 90 minutes against the Crew, and thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Dylan Remick. Played his college soccer at Brown. Got the 90 minutes in the absence of DeMarcus Beasley. Now, you know what? The manager's got a champagne problem because his left back just came off a great game, and DeMarcus Beasley could be available on the weekend, so we'll see what happens. 4 years in Seattle for Dylan Remick. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. It's roundtable time. Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations just made it in. All three guests are here, and we're going to get rolling here shortly. Quick mention here for Liberty Kitchen. It's modern American comfort food. They serve it up, lunch, supper, and brunch. Farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen will stamp its claim on. They'll own it. It's big flavor served at a neighborhood social. Some of the staples there. Creole gumbo. You got to get the blue crab with it. Oysters on the half shell. Po' boys, chops, steaks, ribs, fish. A lot of seafood there. Weekday special, signature cocktails. Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. Lunch, supper, and brunch. Now, here's where their locations are. They got a Heights location that's kind of like Austin. River Oaks is kind of like River Oaks. Rice Village, Garden Oaks, Treehouse, Memorial City. So a number of wonderful different locations that you can hit up when it comes to Liberty Kitchen. Kings Court, they're going to do it up on Saturday night. 903 Hutchins and Edo. Game watching party, Dynamo Portland Timbers. They also show the Premier League. They had a bunch of the Manchester United and Chelsea fans down there for the FA Cup. That's going to be our first topic here on the roundtable. 24 taps, full beer, a full bar, extensive selection of spirits, rooftop patio. It is a real soccer pub feel near the stadium. It's the most authentic. Say hello to Jay. We'll take a break. We're coming back. We got a good second hour set up here.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.